members from civil society, as well as 40 representatives from national government departments and three entities who are nominated by their respective ministers, and the 14 members, the 12 members appointed by our minister. CDA is supported by a secretariat, and it functions in terms of the present act. It is expected in terms of its mandate to give effect to the National Growth Master Plan, which is, of course, the blueprint for the activities of the CDA, and to advise the minister on any matters affecting the abuse of drugs. Included in our mandate is the planning, the coordination, and the promotion of measures relating to the prevention and combating of alcohol, drugs, and the treatment of persons dependent on alcohol and drugs. Also, on a regular basis, every 5 years, the National Drug Master Plan is reviewed, and it sets the tone for the blueprint for Cabinet in order to deal with the problem as being approved thereafter by Cabinet. The main function of the CDA is also to report to Parliament on the progress made in combating substance abuse, particularly in the country on an annual basis, to arrange conferences and summits relating to combating substance abuse, and in order to keep ahead of international trends, exercise such powers and perform such duties as may be determined from time to time by the Minister as mandated with their duties are carried out. So it executes its legal mandate in terms of the National Drug Master Plan, and in order to ensure that the entire country is covered, we have formed 9 provincial substance abuse forums, and we are also supported by 238 local drug action committees as at the time of the period in which I'm reporting. The CDA currently oversees and monitors the activities of 16 national departments and entities, including the Department of Social Development. The CDA is based within the department, and on an annual basis we hold 4 meetings. We are also constituted in terms of 3 subcommittees, and those meet formally when the occasion demands. In between, telephonic conferences are held on a regular basis, and the 3 subcommittees are also meeting in between the general meetings. To ensure the effective liaison with provincial substance abuse forums and local drug action committees, each of the provinces have an allocated member of the Central Drug Authority representing them at the CDA and also at their own provincial meetings. Looking then at the trends and defining the drug problem, which is of course something that is changing all the time, the primary substance of abuse still remains, unfortunately, the illicit substance being alcohol, which remains dominant surveillance, the solvents, glue in particular, used among the youth, continues to be a problem. But very, very difficult to control because of the fact that they are already available and they want to use it. Further trends are the new development, such as, for example, methylphenidate, which is now available, particularly in the Gauteng area. We have a new drug which is now found on our shores as well, called methadrone, which is another example. And polydrug use remains high in KwaZulu-Natal. There are other new drugs that are emerging all the time, the latest one, of course, being bath salts. Those are the type of things that we have to keep ahead of in terms of international trends. In terms of trafficking, cannabis trafficking is for shipment across the African countries. Although the consumption of our local production is mostly here in South Africa, there is still seizures which are being reported of cannabis herb being exported from the country and transported to other parts of Africa, as well as certain parts of Europe as well. Cocaine is also being trafficked through South Africa, but unfortunately that comes with its own problems and that it finds its own ready market here amongst our own youth and users as well. Tick seizures have been reported from Nigeria coming through to South Africa, and some of the latest trends also show that South Africa is now beginning to export some of the tick to other parts, particularly in the east. So if we have a look at that in comparison to what the world norm is in terms of the consumption here in South Africa, cannabis in South Africa is related to 8.4% of our population, as opposed to the global norm where it is 4% of the population, more than double. Opiates, 0.3%. The global norm there is 0.4%. But as I said, heroin is now becoming a new problem, and that will now change, I'm sure, in due course. Cocaine, we are sitting at 0.8% of our population who is abusing cocaine, against the world norm or the global norm of only 0.3%. Amphetamine-type stimulants, again, double the world norm at 0.8%, with 98% of the tick or amphetamine use being reported from the Cape Town area, but as I said, not exclusively anymore to that area. OTC and prescription medicines reported as the primary drug of choice amongst 2 to 6% of the population in rehabilitation at the moment. And then, of course, we have the problem again with alcohol, where 31% of our population is reported to be a problem and risky drinkers. And that places 47th amongst 189 countries who were surveyed in comparison. And of course, if we take into account the binge drinking that takes place, particularly amongst our youth, then that puts us even at a worse situation, probably ranking us somewhere in the top 10 internationally. The Global World Drug Report is something that we as the Central Drug Authority contribute to. We have attended the Commission on Narcotics Drugs, which is the main policy-making body at the United Nations Control Program. It's also the governing body of the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. And South Africa, through the coordination of the CDA, as I said, have assisted with the compiling of their reports. South Africa became a member state in 1995. And we have attended on a regular basis the Commission on Narcotic Drugs, and during the reporting year, the 54th Commission was attended, and we participated in discussions arising around the African resolution taken at the heads of national law enforcement, Henlia. And as a result of that, we have been participating regionally, particularly looking at the threats posed by drug trafficking through Africa as a whole, which has remained high on the agenda of the national community, and that was instructed by the INCB report in 2010. appointed by a representative from South Africa as well, from the Department of Social Development, and focused on issues related to drug trafficking and its corrupting influences on law enforcement. SAPS also held its second National Chemical Monitoring and Precursor Control Conference during the period in March, at which decisions were taken on how to control not only precursor but also cyberspace and movement from cyberspace portals. The national drug problem continues in terms of the CDA, the National Department of Social Development, and the Provincial Departments identifying and understanding what the problem was, and we were informed by the mobilization campaigns, which took a snapshot survey, and at the same time provincial summits were held, and this was a precursor to our national summit, which was held during 2011. The CDA and the National Department of Social Development jointly held that conference in Durban, and it was the second biennial anti-substance abuse summit. We also recognise that South Africa is becoming an important hub for cocaine shipment destined to illicit markets in southern Africa, as well as in Europe, using the courier, the air freight, express mail service, and of course our sophisticated banking system, which also allows for the transfer of money and the movement thereof. There is no illicit manufacture of heroin taking place in Africa, but in spite of that, we are seeing an increase in the amount of heroin that is now entering and occurring in our borders. So heroin flows to South Africa from other countries in North Africa and via East Africa. Its origins are from the Southeast and Southwest Asia, and South Africa is used again as a transit country for heroin shipments destined for the Southern African and European ports as well. But as I said, it comes with its own problems in finding a ready market for the drug itself. In Africa, the illicit manufacture of psychotropic substances for local abuse takes place mainly in South Africa, and that is in particular with the methamphetamine type drugs. These drugs, being methamphetamine, the later one, or the newer one rather I should say, being methcathinone, and of course methacrolone, which has been with us for as long as we can remember substances of abuse being used. The precursor chemicals needed for the manufacture of TIC are also being monitored, but makes it very, very difficult. When a drug is cultivated in a plantation, it's very easy for aerial surveillance to take place to see and to monitor the extent to which that cultivation is improving, reducing, or increasing. When it comes to the precursor chemicals being used in clandestine laboratories within people's own homes and backyards, it makes it very, very difficult, and this is an area of major concern. Also, what we've seen now occurring is a new drug being CAT, which is not under international control, mainly cultivated in parts of Eastern Africa, but has recently been introduced to an area where it grows very well, being the Limpopo province around Kasikua area, where it is harvested Schedule 2 to a Schedule 3 in terms of the scheduling status, which then limits the access to certain people as well. Ephedrine and pseudoephedrine were rescheduled and made a Schedule 6 substance, which was also done in an attempt to reduce the amount of precursors being extracted from those readily available substances when they were as a Schedule 2 substance, and this has helped to some degree.
I would like to remember the UDM to sit this side and switch off your cell phone. Okay, can you sit this side? Yeah. Thank you very much. Sorry.
Thank you, ma'am. Further, to reduce the amount of harm, the Department of Sports and Recreation had their doping control services administered at all national sports, and this is particularly to look after and to assist our youth in protecting them from the harm associated with the using of stimulants in order to perform better on the sports field. A meeting was conducted with service providers working in treatment to define the concept of harm reduction, and of course this is an area which has been identified through the resolution at the summit needing attention and definition for South Africa rather than adopting any policies from outside. We cannot divorce, unfortunately, substance abuse with other social ills, for example, corruption, and of course, drug trade is second only to arms in size and in revenue. And this then again highlights the importance of the problem and the need for it to be dealt with effectively. Such revenue is not only generated illegally, but encourages others by force or by corruption to participate and in order to make it even bigger than what it is. The International Narcotics Control Board recommends measures to address the problem, and the INCB urged governments to prevent corruption through various measures in their latest report, which is now being assessed. So CDA projects are dealt with on a regular basis at the meetings. During the period that we're reporting, meetings were held for the general community, members of the CDA, and that was done on a quarterly basis. Executive meetings were held in between, which also then informed the decisions taken at the general meetings. All CDA meetings were aimed at taking decisions for the implementation and the monitoring of the National Drug Master Plan, which is the mandate of the CDA. Unfortunately, not all departments participated actively in CDA meetings, and this is still an area of concern, and was the reason for our insistence that the Minister appoint an interministerial committee in order to help assist us in getting better participation from other members. Those who attend regularly are DSD, Department of Health and Correctional Services, Sports and Recreation, SARS, SAPS, DERCO, Justice, Medicines Control Council themselves, Trade and Industry, Department of Higher Education, and Home Affairs and Department of Education. The irregular attendance on certain departments has been from particular an area which we are most concerned about, being the youth and the absence of the National Youth Department. reported to Parliament. And of course, a review of the National Drug Master Plan has now been completed as well. Further, to the second biennial summit, the cannabis position paper was, after drafting, also consulted extensively in all 9 provinces with relevant stakeholders, and the national survey on nature, extent, and impact of substance abuse still needs to be conducted in order to give us a baseline of how big the problem is in certain areas. The CDA website, which was created, has been maintained, and a communication strategy developed, and as I said earlier, the National Drug Master Plan under review. CDA resourced and functioning according to its statutory mandate, and a business plan which was drafted for the period of 2006 and 2011 against which we measure our performance on a regular basis. Also the National Clearinghouse which was created, as well as the helpline which was then referred to the Department of the Social Development line function for maintenance. The SMS created and referred to DSD as well for further maintenance. The database having been created and on a regular basis being populated with information. Provincial substance abuse forums are maintained, and we meet with them, as I said, on a regular basis, and in order to support their local drug action committees, we get a reporting mechanism through from them. The drug master plan for the period of 2012 to 2016 has been extensively consulted as well in all 9 provinces among stakeholders in the field of substance abuse, as well as other national departments, professionals, members of the universities in terms of their input, and the JCPS cluster as well. A community survey conducted in 2010 gave us an understanding of the drugs that were used and again clarified for us the extent in their areas of alcohol, zucker, tobacco, glue, medication, cocaine, heroin, tick, and mandrax that was being abused. And also highlighted the associated ills, and here again we refer to crime, particularly violence, abnormal behavior, HIV and AIDS, damage to the body in particular, financial problems associated where it makes the poor poorer, and ill health associated, and the effect that it has on civil society as a whole and on their families who might be the innocent parties. In terms of reporting, we receive reports from a number of the departments, and in particular from provinces, being the Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Northwest, and the Western Cape. The annual reports that were not received, though, are of more concern. And here in particular, we have highlighted the fact that Home Affairs, National Relations and Cooperation, Labour and National Youth Agency failed to give us a report for tabling to Parliament. So in summary, what we have achieved with the Central Drug Authority as a statutory authority mandated to give effect to the National Drug Master Plan is clearly what has been highlighted in the previous discussion. The National Drug Master Plan is the plan which is approved by Parliament for combating substance abuse and meets the requirements of the 3 United Nations conventions to which South Africa is signatory and to which we align ourselves. The Central Drug Authority works through the provincial substance abuse forums and local drug action committees in order to ensure that we are understanding particularly the needs of every member of the community right down to the lowest level, and that is what helps us to inform Parliament and to inform on the policies that are needed for the country. The 3 key elements then being the integrated strategy, including demand, supply and harm reduction, the pillars on which the Central Drug Authority functions. Prevention of substance abuse should be everyone's business, not only the Department of Social Development, not only the Central Drug Authority, and that is the reason for us insisting that the Interministerial Committee be created and assistance being obtained from all of the government departments in dealing with the scourge. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. I would like to welcome the honourable member from the UDM. He told me that he'll be late because they have many meetings, and he had other meetings. He said he would be joining us. So thank you very much for coming. We are now on the second entity, which is Honorable Aba, Honorable Mofolo, in that order. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Chair, I'm going to start with slide 57 about the annual reports not received. I mean, it is of concern that the National Youth Agency hasn't done it, you know, and tongue-in-cheek, they can spend $100 million on a party that they can't have submit an annual report and so on. And what's also concerning is international relations. Our chairperson of the board is from that department, and yet he can't even get his own department to submit a report. It's quite shocking, actually. But the fact is, I also want to know why your report's a year late, and where's this year's report? And I don't want the excuse that you're waiting for reports, because you've submitted this report without all the departments submitting new reports. So I want to know where this where the 2011-12 report is, and why are you late once again? Also, with the National Development Plan for 2012-16, I take it it comes into force on the 1st of April for the financial year, or the 1st of January, I'm not quite sure. I was only reappointed onto this committee in February, so I'm not quite sure if the committee dealt with the National Development Plan last year and approved it. And if not, what plan are we currently working with if Parliament hasn't approved it yet? We're now in November of 2012. If this plan is supposed to be from 2012 to 16, why wasn't it ready for the 1st of April? What was the board doing about it? Then also about the current board, I mean, your term of office has actually expired. It was extended for 6 months, and it was expired on the end of September, and I believe the new board hasn't even been appointed yet, despite us dealing with it and passing the resolution in Parliament. So is there a vacuum now? What's happening? Who's doing what? Is it the old board, the new board, or is no one meeting and there's no one doing anything currently? Then if I can just, that's my general question, and if I can just refer to the actual document. Yes, on page 37, that's a very important one, you mentioned life orientation incorporation substance abuse in the curriculum for grade 12s, yet you gave horrific figures about grade 8 standard 6s, so I'm still thinking in the old terms, but grade 6s, abusing alcohol and other drugs. And obviously, if they're abusing alcohol and other drugs, then it must be happening earlier. So why are we only focusing on grade 12? So what engagement have you had with the Department of Basic Education about that? Which provinces, is it all 9 provinces, or is it just a few, or can you give us an indication which provinces are including it? And if other provinces are doing it earlier stages, which ones, and when do we envisage that younger children will have this in their curriculum. That one's fine. Then as far as heroin is concerned, page 27 and 28, I mean, the importing of heroin, I mean, it's horrific. I mean, it goes generally with drugs coming into the country, not just heroin. The fact is, it doesn't seem to be much of a, the narcotics unit was scrapped by SAFS, which basically destroyed expertise at our ports. And so you obviously have meetings with SAFS about their manpower and expertise at all our different ports, and you know which ports are more vulnerable for drugs coming through, etc. So can you give us some indication of what the strength is of SAFS at the border posts and at the airports and seaports as well? And how they intend combating it, because it does seem that our borders are porous, that anyone can bring drugs over the borders or fly them in. And you have mentioned a few incidences where there's been some success, and you mentioned a huge haul with some Chinese South Africans. That was a massive, that was a huge amount of cocaine coming in, so the chances of them finding it is a lot easier than the smaller amounts, if I can put it that way. So we need to know what's happening, and maybe, Chair, we need to get SAPS here sometime. In fact, all those defaulting department and the National Youth Development Agency should also be called here. But also we need to get SAPS here to discuss what they're doing at the border posts. And then just a general question. In Britain, there was a professor that he was fired after he did it. He did the grading of drugs from, you know, the most harmful drug right down to sort of, you know, minor drugs. And alcohol was quite high up. It was higher than dacha or marijuana. unregistered rehabilitation centres. I just want to know, you know, that undermines the board and its authority when the board itself doesn't adhere to the law. If you could give some background to that one as well, please. Thank you, Chair, for your indulgence.
I'm going to allow members to ask all the questions and then respond later. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. If you mind, let me say this way. I thank the presenter to present this document to us today. I think I benefited because we were and in an advanced Chair, my community busy crying about the health of their children that they are involved in the drug abuse in Ivory Park, where I come from. In the slide 58, page 58, slide bullet 3, the CDA works through the Provincial Substance Abuse Forum and Local Drug Action Community. I want to ask that maybe the CDA can tell us where they base in Gauteng province, because I came from Gauteng province, that the drug abuse is a huge problem, even in Hillbrow, in Roodepoort, they say it even in front of the police. I don't know where did they get that permit. Because community of Roodepoort called me to come and see, and I see it. And when I ask them why did they go to tell the police, they said, no, these police, they don't do anything about these people. They're selling drugs like they're selling sheep. So in Ivory Park, a huge problem is the Nyaube, the drug that calls Nyaube. Small children are involved in that drug abuse. And again, Chair, in the community of Ivory Park, in this weekend, they were marching on the city about to crying about this. They need help from the government. They are even asking me that where did they get help? That help they did not cost any cent to them, because they did not working. Actually, the poor community in Ivory Park. I want to ask the CDA, they doing this drug program with money, or they are free, they're getting money from government to doing this in the community, or they want some cash from a community, because if they're doing this from the government, it's free. I will ask them to give me their email or their fax or their number to call them to come and assist me in my constituency, because we have some structure that you can collect these children, all of them, to the one place, and the CDA come and help us to maybe rehabilitate them. Because they are involved, they are too small. Some of them, they are 15 years. They started from 10 years up to 18, 20. And maybe if they can give us the information, where did they get them? To ask them to come and help us in our community, Chair. And again, Chair, let me pause on that. Maybe I will come back when after. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me welcome the presentation given to us. Chairperson, I just want to understand that are you funding NYDA when they are doing drug campaigns? And if they are not reporting, are you continuing giving them funds? If yes, you are funding them. I'm a little bit embarrassed by the irregular attendance, because I think most of the things are not concluded due to irregular attendance. Don't you have a policy on place that say if you don't attend 3 to 5 meetings, you are removed from the board? And are you reporting that to the minister and deputy minister, and what they are doing about that problem? Did you get any response from them? There is this paper, Canvas position paper. It's not published yet. What is the problem? Why not how long it has been there. And then 288 local drug committee, can you provide us with the details so that we can oversight them ourselves in our different provinces? I thank you, Comrade Chair. Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to appreciate the presentation. I'm also worried about the NYDA, that it's not attending one. Can you maybe give us the reason behind them not attending regularly? Because I really feel they are the key stakeholder in this. Because drugs, you know, it's affecting most of our youth. And once you are elected at that age, that means you are going to grow up using drugs and pills, whatever. My second question is the 21 education workshop that we conducted in Northwest, in Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, and Gauteng. What was the target since we have conducted the actual 21? What was the target? I'm worried that we have omitted the Mpompo yet. We have cited in page 14 that alcohol abuse is used mostly in Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Mpompo. And yet when you conduct this awareness, you left out the Mpompo. What are the reasons maybe for that? Thank you.
Somewhere in this presentation, I can't remember the slide, but I know that you refer children to the rehabilitation centers. I want to know whether you do monitor those rehabilitation centers, because it's a bit worrying that the rehabilitation centers are also, you know, not safe these days. The other one is a concern by most members, the NYDA, not submitting their report. And we know that NYDA is the custodian of the youth development and drug lobbying drive among the youth. So I just want to know whether, because if they don't submit their reports, what happened to them? Do you give them money again to do the work? And I will now give... I just want to know those two. I checked those two. It's a concern that the NYDA is not giving us this report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hope I'm going to remember all the questions, and I hope I'm going to be able to answer them extensively enough in order to give you clarity on the issues that I'll call.
We don't expect you to answer them. You are a team, so you will tell them to answer.
Thank you very much. I will be calling on some support as well. in order for our reporting to be more effective as well. The Quasar questionnaire that was produced was explained, and workshops were held with the various departments, again, with unfortunately little success or little cooperation from the various departments. And that was the reason why we took the liberty of actually reporting in the report to Parliament on those departments who had not, and in order to, for want of a better word, of embarrassing them in order to get them to realise that we are expecting it from them. And Honourable Member Stewart, that is the reason why our reports, it's not an excuse. What we ask is that the reports be given to us timelessly. The departments report back to us that they cannot make them available to us until such time as their minister has signed off the report before they will make it available to us. And this is the constant problem that we have. The representatives from the departments will not release their reports until their ministers have done the necessary in terms of signing off the report. And that is where we have the problem occurring on a regular basis. The fact that the National Drug Master Plan for the period of 2012 to 2016 has been prepared and consulted, it is at a stage now where we are waiting for it to be signed off, and that again is something that has been tabled, but we are waiting for the Minister and for Parliament to accept that. In terms of the timing thereof, unfortunately I won't be able to answer that question, but from our perspective, the necessary was done in terms of the preparing, taking resolutions that were given to us at the summit, which informed us as to what direction needs to be taken for the future, and also then conducting consultative meetings right throughout the country with all the provinces and relevant stakeholders in order to ensure that what we were putting forward for the next blueprint for the country would be appropriate as well. I believe that it is ready for... In terms of our term of office, which was the question, and whether we are functioning within a vacuum at the moment, correctly speaking, what you said was correct. Our term of office was extended and has been extended a second time. We are awaiting the appointment of the new Central Drug Authority. And again, this is something that is appointed by the department, by the minister, something that we ourselves are dealing with on an ongoing basis, but on an ad hoc basis. Whenever an issue arises, we are asked and consulted, and we have met in the interim until such time as Gauteng province, in the Ekurhuleni region, Asedibeng, North Rand region, West Rand region, Johannesburg region, and including the Johannesburg region, we have a local drug action committee which is functioning in Midrand, which should incorporate Ivory Park as well. So these local drug action committees are under the provincial drug, substance abuse forums. They are the ones who coordinate the activities within the local drug action committees, and they are the ones who are reporting on the establishment and the monitoring of activities within the local drug action committees. We are dependent for that information in order for us to be fully informed of what is happening, as I said, at the lowest possible level, and in order to be able to address and to put forward policies. So in terms of activities involved in supporting the local drug action committees, we are only capable, unfortunately, of empowering them, showing them, educating them, but for the rest, it falls under the provincial administration and the provincial drug action forum to deal with. The question about the cannabis paper, unfortunately, the author of the cannabis paper passed away. It was at a point where it was about to be published, but with her passing, that has now been put back, or will be put back as a recommendation to the incoming Central Drug Authority to relook at. There was extensive consultation, again, within all of the provinces in order to ensure that the messages that we were receiving were appropriate for our particular country, as opposed to what is happening internationally with decriminalization, legalization, and the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. We have a very unique situation. The marijuana that is grown here in South Africa is very unique in terms of its content and the higher content of THC, the active ingredient, and the amount of damage that is caused, not only to the health of the person, but again, in order to deal with the demyelinational syndrome that it impacts on our youth in particular. So we needed a position paper which is peculiar to our needs and particular to our country as well. And this is as a recommendation which has been prepared for the new incoming Single Drug Authority, a priority area that should be dealt with by them. I'm not sure, I think the annual report for 111 to 112, that has been prepared as well. It has been printed. Again, it's being printed at the moment and is ready for tabling. That is as far as we can take it as the Central Drug Authority. Thereafter, we wait for it to be presented in Parliament.
Okay, thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I just wanted to confirm the issue of funding. As you know, my colleague David Bayer has indicated, that is the National Department. We're not funding NYDA, you know, in terms of their campaigns that they've been, you know, undertaking. But I wanted to also extend the response to maybe just highlight high-level, you know, financial status of the CDA, if the Honourable Chairperson can allow me. Okay. In terms of the year under review, the CEA was funded at 4.8 million overall in terms of the budget, and then the classification in terms of economic classification is that the compensation of employees was also budgeted at 1.4, and then goods and services 3.3, and then the budget was spent accordingly in terms of the compensation of employees, but on goods and services of about 50% was spent, with the under expenditure of 1.6. And then the reason for that is that during that year under review, the CDA wanted to utilize the civil services provider to conduct the research on the nature, extent, and impact of substance abuse in communities. But unfortunately, that project couldn't carry on because there was a dispute between the department with the service provider, which the matter was then referred to the legal services to deal with in terms of the regulations on blacklisting suppliers. So that's basically the financial status during the year under review. Thank you.
Looking at me, I'm not quite happy. I thought that the financial status of the city would be tabled then so that we are able to ask questions. So I don't see that part of financial report. And I was expecting CDA to give us their side of the finances, how they spend their finances.
Agenda to actually deal with that component of it, because firstly, if
one just looks at the scale of the problem, the number of young people, which is not young people, but South Africans presenting themselves for treatment has escalated or increased significantly, but the cost of treatment is enormous. If one just looks at the number of public and private institutions, it's very little in terms of what is needed. So we really do need a significant approach to dealing with harm reduction, but investment in treatment is required, and management of treatment centers. Registration of treatment centers has been given over to provinces, and my own visits to some of the treatment centers in KwaZulu-Natal, for example, has indicated that there's a number of treatment centers just waiting for the provincial department to either give them the go-ahead or not. So we're working with the provinces to look at where the bottlenecks are, because in many cases you also have very good treatment centers that are not getting the necessary accreditation. So we must also look at what's happening there. It's one of those issues that we really have to work with our provinces on. Just one last matter I think I do need to mention is the presentation mentioned partnerships around fetal alcohol syndrome. Those kind of things, government and through cabinet now, government departments cannot or should not partner with the alcohol industry in dealing with those kind of programs, because it actually lends itself into the policy making arena from the industry. So we've actually discouraged that. So the department has actually terminated some time ago partnerships with organizations such as the breweries. The deputy chair said that we learn from best practice. I think part of what the new board and the department will have to do is actually look at what best practice does say to us, because internationally the so-called war on drugs has failed. The criminal justice approach, or where the fight against drugs has left as seen as a law enforcement issue, has not been successful despite the kind of billions that have been put into that. So I think we also need to have a discussion around what the new approach is. So the question about soft drug, hard drugs, criminalization, decriminalization, we can't just dismiss automatically. We really need to look at what is best practice. The Portuguese example is quite illustrative, where they've taken it out of the law enforcement arena, put it into the health and social development arena, and from being the highest abusers in Europe 15 years ago, they're now one of the lowest abusers. So I think there's a lot for us to learn. We're dealing with a very complex issue. The CDA is trying its best, but institutionally, it doesn't have the capacity or the standing to do what it needs to do. And we need to look at that in a more comprehensive way.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think issues that you raised are also concern the substance abuse committee or local drug authority. We need to know, as these members of parliament, that the link between the community and those people. And also, I think it's very important that those forums are known even by the constituency offices. So if it's the forums that are not known, that are just in the book, are not known by the communities, they might be known, but we need to, even the targets, setting of targets, our targets are not measured at all. Because when you find a presentation, you must say, last year the targets were achieved, this is kind of set of targets that we achieved, and this year we see that we're improving. But there's nothing that tells us here in this report that you've achieved kind of target that you want. And also, I think the composition of the committees also, we should also target the churches. I thought I would see it in this presentation, that also churches are involved, because it's affecting parents, the churches, and schools, teachers, and everyone. I must say it's a complex issue which is not taken seriously, I would say. Also, the law enforcement that we talk about, we read in the papers that when you go for drug trafficking in other countries, serious measures are taken. But here, So it's something that we as a committee, we need to follow it up. It's something that we need to make follow up in terms of all these issues that you've raised. I'm forced to give, it's something which is touching as well. I'm forced to give a chance to members. I'll start with you, Honorable Andrew, and Honorable, yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Before I remind them of my questions that are not answered, you say when you touch the areas that are supposed to focus to when conducting awareness, you have touched churches, which reminds me of traditional leaders because they've got vast consciences and drugs are there. I think they should be part of and part and parcel of those that are included as stakeholders or something in order to assist. But my question to that is, the chairperson has correctly indicated, you don't indicate your target. We don't know that you've conducted 21 workshops out of what? What were you planning? Because this is the actual, that was my question, and it's not answered. And why the omission of Limpopo? Because if you look at also in page 21, you're saying Limpopo now is harvesting these drugs and distributing them in refrigerated trucks to other parts of the country. But when awareness is conducted, you don't include them in. That's my question. Why the omission? Thank you.
Chair, thanks. Just on the appointment of the new board, the minister was sent to let about the speaker on the 26th of September, indicating who exactly was approved by Parliament. So there's no excuse there. The minister's got the letter. Just needs enactment. And then just on the National Drug Master Plan, I've got a copy if you'd like it. Just on the National Drug Master Plan, the question wasn't answered about who signs it off and who is responsible for submitting it to Parliament. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to add what you have just said. That last time when the NDA was presenting to us, they gave us how many percent of youth estimation, those estimations. So that was important to us to see that are that increasing or coming down. And the other thing, there was this issue of the taverns that are nearer to school. Yeah, those are the things that were in there. So we wanted to know how far are those things that they were presenting to us last time so that we measure ourselves on that level. We can't just continue to say this. I think they have done it to say where it's the cocaine is more in which province. But we wanted the roughly percentages. Thanks.
I don't know if you want to respond. But let me add to what Honorable Waters, we did our work as committee, like interviewing the board, and it was mentioned in Parliament, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't remember us, you know, having board in front of us or talking to board or whether it's supposed to be us calling the board. So even now, there's not even one person from the board. So we don't understand. Or is it there? One person. And it's very unfair that the first time that they come to Parliament, they don't show up their faces. Because there were problems with the previous board. We know all the problems or challenges that are there. So, yeah.
If I may just respond to a few of the questions now.
Oh, can I just give chance to the
Honourable Member? Just one last question. You know, as the Honourable Member was indicating about taverns that are trading nearby schools, I just want to find out from you whether is there any working relationship between you and the Gambling Board, which is the part of the of the Economic Development, because they are the ones that are responsible for issuing of car trading licenses, that they don't issue or give them licenses when they are nearby schools, because that's one of the issues that has been raised, that the children are having access to the Kwanea school at lunchtime and come back. So we should have that working relationship with them. Do you have that? Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I may. A lot of the questions that are being asked now, unfortunately, should have been answered already if we were in a position to table our 2011 to 2012 report. Because a lot of those issues are being addressed or have been addressed subsequent to the resolutions that were taken at the summit. What I'm reporting at, unfortunately, is something historic. But a lot of the questions that are being raised now will be in the report that we're asking about. For example, we've seen a huge improvement on the emphasis of alcohol advertising being an issue that is being addressed as a result of the resolution that was passed at the summit. This is being addressed, it's been consulted, it's being worked on as on a regular basis. It does not fall within our ambit. The Department of Health have to deal with it in terms of the licensing of taverns. It's not something that we're involved with at all, but clearly through their inter-ministerial committee and working with the ministers of those departments, we have managed to get them to raise the issues around substance abuse, particularly the ones that we've identified for them, like the ones that are being raised here, as being priority areas for them to now deal with as well. And that is what is being escalated within the various departments that are on the CDA and who have represented the CDA.
I will never agree with you when you say it's the responsibility of the health, not your responsibility. I thought that simply cut across all these departments, because in, according to your presentation, I think health is also counted, if I'm not mistaken. But I want to say that also the health department is in our cluster. That is cluster of social, it is a social cluster. So I don't understand when you say it's the issue of health department, not your health. Maybe I need to be corrected.
Sorry, Chair, it's part of the problem with what I've tried to outline about the CDA. It's supposed to pull together the activities based on the National Drug Master Plan of what all departments have set themselves out to do. The CDA is not an implementing agency. The CDA takes what is happening at the department level, focuses on what can be done together, what can be done better. Supposed to actually advise departments based on the fact that you've got experts from, you know, the treatment environment, the law enforcement environment, and all the other spheres, harm reduction, supply reduction, and actually shape, assist government to work better. It's not an implementing agency. It's not a resource-giving agency. The problem is that, and I'm frank, is that the kind of people that normally attend from government departments are junior. They have no decision-making powers. Some departments don't bother to pitch up. What the deputy chair is saying is that those kind of problems have been escalated to an IMC, an interministerial committee, which actually we should make sure that the interministerial committee's presentations also then come to the level of the committee, because by nature of it being an interministerial committee, a lot of the reports go directly to cabinet. And I think there's a missing link, in the sense that the committee is not getting that kind of information as well. Because a lot has happened since the establishment of the Interministerial Committee, that in 2 years' time, a lot of the issues that are being raised that have been on the agenda for 4 years have been dealt with quite significantly. We really need to look at how do we, if the CDA is a model that is going to be approved, then we must make sure that it has the correct standing. That people, departments can't, the reporting, give you an example, Chair, the reporting, the missing reports, ever since it was raised at an IMC level, we found that there was a flurry of reports being submitted all of a sudden, because who sits at the IMCs, ministers, deputy ministers, director general, deputy director general. So it's quite a, it basically is elevated the issue. So almost, and the CDA sits the reports into that meeting as well. So what you've done is you've got the statutory board, which is the CDA, reporting into the IMC. The statutory board is supposed to report to Parliament. So a lot of the issues that's supposed to come to Parliament is in many ways also not going directly to Cabinet because of the IMC. So actually what we need to do is make sure that those reports come to the portfolio committee as well, because a lot has happened subsequent to the establishment of the IMC. capacities needed to deal with the issues of alcohol and substance abuse. The current structure of the CDA is not working. As we, you know, it's not working. It doesn't, with, you know, in terms of the act, it's collegiate. For example, the mention was made about the Narcotics Bureau that's been dismantled. Those are the kind of issues that the CDA needs to be dealing with. What's the best way to deal with supply reduction? What's the best way to deal with demand reduction? What's the best way to deal with treatment? And in a way that's independent of the players themselves. So I think that's the issue. So I think a lot of the questions going to the CDA is about delivery. So what is the health department doing about detoxification, for example, is something that if there's adequate reports from the Department of Health, we'll be able to say this is the state of detoxification programs in the public sector. We're not able to do that currently. So the CDA, and I think the frustration expressed by the Deputy Chair is that they're presenting the best information that they have available. With a very small secretariat in one of the departments, which is our department, which is the Department of Social Development. But we're also a small player in a much bigger campaign against alcohol and substance abuse. So we really need to look at, you know, the symptoms, the annual reports being late, the administrative issues is a symptom of what's the bigger problem. The bigger problem is that we need to, as a government and society, need to look at how do we tackle this problem. I mean, it's, if you're saying that the drug trade is second only to the arms trade in terms of revenue, it gives you a sense of the scale of the issue that we're dealing with. And it's compounded by the fact that the biggest substance that's being abused is legal. And we're not saying it should be illegal. We're just saying that the necessary controls need to be put in place for all of them. So, Chair, I'm dealing a bit with something which is out of my sphere, dealing with the CDA, because I deal with the content issues, not with the institution. Of the CDA, but we really need to look at how we capacitate the institution.
Thank you very much for the explanation. I don't know if members still want to. Master Glenn question.
Regarding the National Drug Master Plan, as soon as we have concluded the internal process, it's going to be referred to Cabinet for approval. Thank you. And then regarding the annual report 11-12, it's being printed, it has been approved internally. Thank you.
The master plan is signed by the minister and approved by cabinet. Then after that, it comes to the to parliament. So we're still waiting. Should we give you time frame for this? I think we need to give them time frame. Well, you know, there are so many recommendations that we think as this committee we need to sit down and draft, because there's a lot that we need we need to make some kind of a follow-up. I see what you are explaining to us will need our attention as this committee, and we'll liaise with the chair and the minister how to tackle these issues. Thank you very much for your time, CDA, and also time of members of parliament to be here. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned. We're waiting for the words. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.